MGTOW men, welcome back. So man, when I'm needing to watch some MGTOW content that not only entertains me, gets me back to basics, you know how I go to. I go to the YouTube search bar and I type in Paul Proteus. Or if I'm getting really specific, I type in hypergamy floats and I get to see Paul deliver a 1950s-esque smoke-filled monologue about why MGTOW just makes so much sense. So he does so with the best titles as always, which is an art. Giving titles like It's Not As Entertaining As It Used To Be, and the one that I'm talking about today, You Don't Say No, You Do Know, and If You Don't Want the Job, You Don't Do the Interview. So if you don't want anything to do with the job, don't even bother with the interview. Don't even apply. Why are you even applying? Well, if you think about it, there are a lot of guys out there that end up taking jobs that they regret, and if they just listened to their gut and never applied, they wouldn't be in this situation at all. So Paul Proteus in this video takes the literal translation and applies it to the dating world. So we know this guy. He paints a picture of the guy we've all seen. He's at the mall. He's on the boardwalk. He's in the grocery store. He's in the Home Depot looking for that perfect trivial addition to the new house that they just bought. And they have, you know, now saddled in debt because of it. He's with her. But he's walking like 4 or 5 steps behind her. And he's just totally ashamed to be with her. Most likely in these situations, this guy was with her at the beginning because of her sexual marketplace value and his sexual interest. This woman is usually, or was at least, high on the SM sexual marketplace, the SM. But now, she probably has lost that. He was willing to put up with other things, spending habits, personality, character, all because he was willing to get access to her high sexual marketplace value. He did an interview for a job he actually didn't want, and he accepted. Which, going back to this high sexual marketplace value connection, it's all related to the likelihood of kids living longer and being healthier, ultimately. But from this scene, now he's got a few kids with her, and he's like, okay, someone just please get me erased from being here right now. I do not want to be walking around with her. Please, nobody. Have nobody see me with her. I'm ashamed of being with her because of X, Y, and Z. Men get into these positions of shame. And I've been in these positions of shame. Because they interviewed for a job that they didn't want. They interviewed. You don't even have to do the interview. How do you get out of these situations? That's a little bit difficult. How do you prevent yourself from getting to the situations? Despite the fact that it looks so good? Like I should just walk away. That's it. You walk away. A lot of it is just about fleeing. And in MGTOW, we're not fleeing out of pure fear. We're fleeing out of understanding. We're fleeing about being sensible, thinking about the future. So Paul goes into a whole talk about this. And he calls it, if you don't want the job, you don't do the interview. Don't dabble there. This goes back to a talk that I did recently. Many men have this gut feeling right away after pursuing a relationship that's bad and they will end bad, but they just push it off until. So I read a story about a guy interacting with his BPD girlfriend. He cut things off when he knew that it could escalate to something even worse. That's when you walk away. You leave when you have that innate feeling within you, and many men disregard that as well. That moment never comes, and then one day it does, and then it appears as shame in you because you waited too long. Shame is the end result of not walking away from the job that you don't want, interviewing for it, and taking it. Then it appears like you strung the person along, and then you'll appear all fake to other people, and to yourself, you feel fake. And when you feel fake, that means you feel shame. And when you feel shame, it means that you've gotten rid of your values. And that is what Paul Proteus is saying. And at the root of this ghosting lesson is the ability for the man to say, no, not I do. The cards are always in our hands. The only time that you don't have the cards is when you say, this is okay. I think I'll try it out, even though I know I shouldn't. I'll be able to get out of it later. No, your strongest card is cutting it off right there. Cutting it off at the neck and saying no. And if that's the case, then it means you always have control still. This is a red pill message that gets lost on men. Men are told that control is outside of you now. You have to tame it. And most likely, you won't be able to. No, the wrong things to tame are always outside of you. The most important thing to tame is the one inside of you. And that means that you will always have the ammo to say no. It's always in your cartridge. That is your best card. Flee, because if you do this, you get shame erased. If you don't, you bring it into your life potentially. and potentially regret. So I liken it to this. People can think that they can walk down many roads in life and that that road will offer an opportunity for a U-turn at some point, any point, and that they'll be able to get off that road and not feel any sort of tension. It'll be an easy transition. They'll be able to say no and turn around. Actually, many of these roads are one way and also one lane. And the only way that you can get out of it is hoping that nobody is behind you and that you can back up. And that backup is extremely arduous and painful. Imagine this. It's a path and you have chasms on both sides. That is often the road that many men are driving down for various things. And you have to back up. And if you go to one side or the other, you're going to tip over and you're going to die. You're trying to reverse your steps. You're absolutely exhausted. You're not making anywhere that you want to be. You're just trying to get back to where you started. That's not where you want to be. And another root reason for this is compromising on your values or not thinking that you have enough value internally, so you got to keep someone outside of you to give you that value, to make up for that lack of. And that is where the problem rests. And to finish up this talk, to lead it down the path of the MGTOW Sunday sermons that I always do, I want to go back to what I think was my second and first MGTOW Sunday sermon video of 45 that I've done, Joseph and Potiphar's wife and Samson to Delilah. You really don't have to look much further than either of those to see MGTOW in the Bible, red pill information, and even more specific to the day, me too. So fleeing, keeping that in mind. If you don't want the job, don't do the interview. And before I explain the stories, if you're unfamiliar, the main difference between the two, Joseph and Samson, one fled, the other lingered. Joseph, he did experience some persecution, even though he fled, but in the end, it was a positive result. One left and defended his integrity above anything else, which was Joseph. The other started the interview. He literally started the interview with Delilah. And the only thing that he was interviewing for was shame. And that is the difference between Samson and Joseph. So Genesis 39, one of Pharaoh's officials, Potiphar, left Joseph to tend his house. He was essentially a glorified butler. He was well on his way, becoming high in the ranks in Egypt at the time, essentially to house sit. Along with that was Potiphar's wife. She was at home every day, and she likely dwelt in the house every day, day and night. Not leaving much, she probably had everything she needed. She was also likely very pretty, and Joseph was a single man of power and youth. Hypergamy. A couple of things come to mind. I've heard people argue that Potiphar's wife felt neglected, but I've also heard this interpreted from a perspective of hypergamy, which I've talked on. No matter what, she's not satisfied and would take interest in someone that is around or try to get some excitement out of her day. Even though Joseph is likely to have far less status than Potiphar. He does, in fact. But either way, that's what ensues. And I'm going to read a little bit from Genesis 39, 7 through 18. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, like I said. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." She prompted it. But he refused. He didn't do the interview. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. One day, he went into the house to attend his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." She's persisting. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. So she probably stepped on his cloak or tried to grab it as he sprinted away. He literally fled. He's literally fleeing. He's playing the fleeing card, literally. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." This is not Me Too in BC times. I don't know what is. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told them this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." So Joseph did suffer at the hand of this ancient Me Too movement right here, this action. But what Joseph didn't suffer was a compromise of his integrity because he did not do an interview. And maybe he protected his life as well. And obviously, we know the rest of the story, and he benefited greatly. But if we move to Judges 16, a couple books ahead, 4 through 20, we know Samson's story even more. Samson sees Delilah, a Philistine woman, and he does an interview with her. It says, sometime later, he fell in love with a woman of the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, see if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how he can overpower him so that we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. So Samson's putting himself in position to be interviewed. He drove over to the office. He flew in. He did the Skype interview. He chose to do it. The cards were in his hand. This guy's massive. He's strong. And he says, if anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I will become as weak as any other man. Obviously, we know that's the lie. And she then continues to persist. She says, you have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come, tell me how you can be tied. And him wanting to keep good graces with her still and the opportunity for probably sexual interest, he continues going on and lingering around. Whereas the other man, Paul Proteus, is kind of painting as a representation of what to do in this situation. Paul is like, if you get asked by the woman that you're talking to at the time, that's over there at the party that you're at, first of all, you probably shouldn't even be around. And she asks, what do you do? What's your age? You don't even answer. You say, I can't tell you this, or I'm an unemployed, or whatever it is. But Samson keeps going on. Delilah persists with the second question. She comes at him and said, you lied to me again. And then Samson is asked once more, cut my hair. No razor has ever been used on my head because I have been a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me. We know what happens here. Delilah ends up getting him to sleep, cuts his hair. He is subdued, eyes gouged out. He eventually dies in shame. The difference is shame. The big difference between not fleeing and fleeing, doing the interview and not doing the interview, is the end result of shame. There are also physical consequences that incur, pregnancy, public image destroyed, but if you bring shame upon yourself for pursuing something that is either not you or that brings you shame, you lose the most important thing, which is integrity, and which is many of us MGTOW men are trying to always maintain every day. Integrity is the greatest thing. So going your own way is as much about fleeing from what you know is damaging as it is just being strong in what you believe in, sticking to your guns. It's a matter of both. Because you're going to be around these situations as well where there's going to be an opportunity for an interview. And while the latter is important, there I don't think is a strong enough emphasis on just fleeing and running away, as Joseph did as well. Just don't put yourself in situations. Part of this is ghosting, and I do talk about how to ghost better and how to be more tactful with it. Just do not put yourself in the physical space. Protect your most important card, your strongest card, the no card. Do no and say no, as Paul Proteus said. Don't linger, leave. I see, hear from a lot of men that are just dawdling around and pondering, what if I do this and go back to this? You run. Okay, there is so much to run from in this world, and I'm not saying in a fearful sense. Running to benefit your own self and to save what you have, because the world wants to take. And I've been in situations where I could pursue something or I could not. I chose to stay around and do the interview, and the only thing that I was left with was a path that I had driven down that I could only back up on with no U-turns. And that is the message I want to deliver to you guys today. And I do want to make an extension of this one later for a few more emails that I've received. So apply as you may. Enjoy your day. SunriseCity@gmail.com. SunriseCity on Twitter. Hoodies out, men. Hoodies out.